It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the walls, ladies and gentlemen, and we have run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We got a great show for you. Right, it's great.
Hi, gang, this is Fiend Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I'm Mel, Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Wrestling Weekly. I am Doc Young alongside my broadcast partner Les Thatcher for the night. We've got a great show for you tonight. Coming up, our featured guest tonight is, of course, you know her from WWE as Sunny. Tammy Sitch is going to be with us. Also joining us for Hot Topic is Adam Martin. So it's going to be a good show tonight.
Okay.
Unlike usual.
And I was on the website today, and we are trying to. We don't want any of you to know who our guests may be beyond this point.
No, we don't. It's a big secret.
In fact, it would be detrimental. You may actually tune us in, and we wouldn't want that.
It's a big FBI secret, but we'll have those up a little bit later in the week.
What Doc's meaning is we don't have any guests lined up yet. You gotta learn to speak Doc Young speak.
Les, why do you have to pull the curtain, you know?
Why not?
We'll have the February guest up soon. But, man, I got to tell you, Les, it's nasty outside. We just had a storm roll through here a couple hours ago that was moving at, and I've never heard this before, 90 miles an hour.
We have thunderstorm watches and warnings here, and I don't know about 90 miles an hour, but winds in Indiana, Oldenburg, and Greensburg, which is, I'm going to say 60 miles, 50, 60 miles to the east of us, or the west of us, I'm sorry.
So that means it could be heading toward you.
Well, I guess. I don't know.
It's
whatever.
Nasty out there. So if you're listening to the show and you're enjoying and all of a sudden you hear nothing, you know what happened, my friends. And then you'll have to check the website tomorrow, see if we made it through this.
And if we don't lose power, you may hear nothing anyway.
What are you trying to say, Les?
Well, sometimes we just babble and they don't say much. I don't
think we ever babble on this show. I think everything we say has some nugget of quality.
Some
to
nugget,
it.
Yeah. All right.
What's on your schedule, Les? You got stuff coming up, I know.
Well, I'm going to be it's not open to the public, but the Mobile Wrestlers Reunion is the weekend of the 6th and 7th, seventh and eighth in Mobile, Alabama. The wife and I are going down there.
Is this in February or March?
Huh?
February 6th or 7th or March?
No, March.
March. Okay.
And that's always a great time. You are invited if you are in the wrestling business, past, present, or currently.
That rocks. Isn't that where you go see your good friend Paul Bearer?
Yeah.
You guys had the barbecue and everything?
Yeah.
Well,
it's all home-cooked food. It's, actually the reunion as such is like Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. But we go in on Wednesday, and everybody congregates, and there's a places where we see each other for breakfast in the morning, and then one restaurant where everybody eats on Thursday evening, and then we have spaghetti dinner on Friday, and then we have chicken, fish, and so forth. It's all home cooked. Lee Fields, one of the Fields brothers, and the man who was the owner of the Mobile territory, and, well, part of Louisiana. One time I worked for him in Louisiana, 66, 67. Anyway, Lee built Mobile International Speedway and Drag Strip, and on that property there is a building that is for the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion. And I think this 17th year, I'm not sure. Anyway, so that, you know, it's got a kitchen, and, I mean, we show up and congregate, like, early in the morning, and there's coffee and homemade pastries, and just, you know, everybody hangs out, and then there's always a show. There's awards presented on Saturday and Friday. There, some of the wrestlers and their wives do pantomime skits, and, well, some actually sing. You should hear Paul Bearer sing, Percy sing. He's quite a good
singer. He's a good singer?
Yeah, honestly, he's quite good. Anyway, comedians, the whole nine yards, a lot of people participate, and like I say, there's awards, and it's a great time. And then I think High Intensity Wrestling is having a show either Saturday night or Sunday afternoon, I'm not sure, and I think I'm going to be doing play-by-play on their for them on that show for their DVD. They were part of the group that ran the show in Natchez when I was there a few weeks ago. So anyway, that's, and then the following weekend, I fly into Richmond, Virginia for Ground Zero. That's X-E-R-O, Ground Zero Wrestling. And that's a weekend seminar. We're doing a Q&A on Friday night until the wee hours, and then train all day Saturday and Sunday. And then, so, you know, and if you'd like to hook up with us there, you can go to gxwwrestling.com and contact Dave McLeod on the website, or call him at 804-356-0583.
Excellent.
And join us for a training session. You know, and I think my old buddy Dick Steinborn, who was quite a performer in our day, lives up there, and I've talked to him. He'll probably be showing up. And anyway, and maybe Dave Chappelle and Dick Bourne from the Mid-Atlantic Gateway site, too, as well. So, and possibly Bruce Mitchell. So I don't know. It could be. And Steve Johnson, who, along with Greg Oliver, writes The Heels, the Hall of Fame, a Tag Team Hall of Fame, and all that sort of
thing. Oh, yeah. That was I still have that book. That was a good book.
Yeah, he lives up that way, too. So I may get to see all those people, and we're having a good time.
Excellent, man. I guess you haven't seen this, but I spent yesterday watching a celebrity rehab marathon of course, the first three episodes. But it's really raw, and it's really shocking. And of course, China is in there from WWE. She's trying to kick the alcohol or whatever. When she first came in there, she said she really didn't have a problem, but she wanted to stop anyway. So I thought it was kind of weird.
She's addicted to whatever?
She's addicted to whatever.
Whatever. I've never taken any whatever.
I know.
What is that?
I'm afraid to try it. No, it's, you know, alcohol, and I don't really think that she does drugs. I think she said that she didn't do drugs, but she does get into the alcohol quite a bit. And, of course, Bridget Nielsen's there, Seth, the lead singer from Crazy Town, Jeff Conaway from Taxi in Greece, who is, man, they showed him going through withdrawals, and this guy was screaming, practically screaming for his mother. It was really sad, and it was really scary. And the weird thing is, China kind of seems like the most normal out of the whole bunch on this episode, on the show.
Okay.
From what I've seen so far. You got to check this show out, man, if you get a chance. It's
VH1. You know, I do a few reality things. I'm just not, I don't know. I watched the Bret Michaels.
Rock of Love.
The first time around, yeah, because like I say, Big John, his bodyguard, head of security, was one of my trainees at one time. He's John's from Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, and John Murray. But I haven't watched the second one. I thought he picked the right girl the first time, and then she backed out on him. So whatever.
Wow. Is it true that
I've never watched Survivor or Big Brother or The Amazing Race. I don't know. Just not. I am an American Idol and Dancing with the Stars freak. I must admit to that.
it's got to have some sort of physical competition involved.
Well,
for you.
That whole being voted off and all that, I don't even understand all that.
You get voted off on American Idol, right?
Well, no, but I'm talking about Survivor,
Right.
You have this option or that option, somebody gets voted off because they didn't do this or that, and I don't know. Anyway, I don't know, it's never intrigued me. No, what I like about Dancing with the Stars is a lot of people from varying professions step up, and it's I think great to see them become competitive and learn at something. And then with Idol, I've said this before, and I say it sarcastically or seriously, call it as you will. It's amazing because it so parallels independent wrestling to a certain degree. People who have no talent whatsoever for what they're trying to do, trying to do it, and don't understand when someone that actually understands what they're supposed to be doing tells them they can't.
What do
you mean? How could Simon and Randy and Paula not realize that I'm the greatest talent in the world?
And you kind of got a point about that, but then again, I kind of think that the first 3 weeks of American Idol are set up.
Well, I don't think they're set up. I think these people actually try out. I mean, of course, some of the people obviously make it. And are talented. No,
right.
No, I think that some. Well, listen, there are people in the low levels of the wrestling business who honestly believe they're wrestlers.
Yes, this is true.
And no one else can. I mean, it's not when I say, it's not just me. I've seen them where they would. I've stood back and watched them talk to other people who were truly experts at the industry.
I have to.
Try to explain to those people why they were stars or mm-hmm. should be stars. I was talking to, Dave McLeod up in Richmond the other night, and this kid came around me in Charlotte at the Legends Convention back in August and pitching me about how he didn't need to be in shape and how he was a star already. And anyway, he showed up at Dave's school, at Ground Zero School, and basically got his ass handed to him.
He blew up.
And found out he couldn't. Yeah, and they were saying, well, I'm not used to this. I imitate. Well, I won't even mention who he imitates because I don't want to embarrass the kid and who he, in case he might be. But, that I imitate somebody. Well, you know what? That's not wrestling either.
Right.
It's
an imitation.
And then I was talking to a young man. Or, well, I shouldn't say talking. I'm going to critique a young man's play-by-play video here when I get it that is doing play-by-play, and we were talking about, and he just threw out a couple outrageous names in terms of a couple guys that wrestle in the area where he's at, and I said, and I don't know these guys, and I wasn't pointing a finger at them anyway, but that's the other thing about the independents now. It's like, well, listen, I have this great costume, and I have a great gimmick or goofy name, and I've got this music. Can you wrestle? No, but I've got all these other things.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, listen, I got a baseball glove and a bat and a pair of spikes. When do I start for the Yankees?
Right.
Can you play? Oh, no, I can't play baseball, but I've got all this equipment.
Right. And so American Idol parallels that.
Huh?
And American Idol parallels that.
Oh, it certainly does.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these people are very upset that Randy and Paula and Simon don't realize how talented they are, but of course they aren't talented. That's pretty apparent to everybody but them.
Yeah.
Well,
When I said earlier that I thought that the first few weeks were rigged, I do believe there are people out there who actually are that horrible.
Have you ever been to karaoke night?
Yeah.
Okay, well then, what's your point?
I used to be a karaoke DJ, actually, so I've seen it all.
But I mean, a lot of those people should never get close. I mean, listen, I know I'm a horror. I sing along because I get caught up. I like music and certain things. I just, I'll sing along in the car, and if somebody's with me, they probably laugh, which is fine. But I'm not gonna. But I'm not gonna get up and do karaoke, and I'm not gonna try out for American Idol at least.
Right. I actually know of a guy who tries out for American Idol every year. He is hands down the worst singer I've ever heard,
But you can't tell him that,
no,
right?
No, he thinks he's great, and his family and his friends and his girlfriend tell him he's great.
They blow smoke. I've had independent guys come to me and say, "Why aren't you using me better?
Right.
I'm using you where I think you belong." Well, you know, my girlfriend or my mother thinks I'm the best wrestler on the roster. Well, you know what? My mom thinks I'm a handsome devil, too, or thought I was a handsome devil, too, God rest her soul. But that's because she was my mother.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's not the, that, you know, those aren't the people's opinions that honestly count in this, these situations. You know?
Got a good point.
No, I mean, it's, when I, and when I, when you say set up, no, I don't think, I think these people actually try out, but I mean, I think once whoever the scouts are who are picking and choosing, they hear some of these bad people, yes, they put them on for the entertainment value.
Right.
And you know what? These people aren't embarrassed in the least to be on there because it's their moment of fame.
Right. They're on TV.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know, I'm trying to, you know, asking me to do something I totally can't do at all, and you'll let me be on television? That's the last place I'd want to be.
Right.
If I can't do it well. No,
right.
I mean, you know, if you want me to, you know, Les, will you do this in my kitchen just for me, just so I can, you know, see how bad you are? Sure, Doc, I don't, you know, I probably don't have a problem with that, but do I want to do it in front of five people? I don't know. I don't think so. Do I want to do it in front of a few million? Hardly. You know, I just don't understand. I don't understand that. But anyway, that's, you know, yeah. But what I like about Idol is, well, like Chris Daughtry, who's up, his, he and his band Daughtry are up for four Grammys.
Yeah.
You know, he got voted off. But I mean, I you know, there's.
It seems the ones who get voted off have the bigger careers than the ones who
sometimes,
win.
Sometimes, yeah. Well, Taylor Hicks, who I thought, I love blues, and I love Taylor Hicks.
Right.
You know, and but he, you know, he was released by his record label. But now, maybe I never thought that what I heard on that was honestly what I heard from him. You know, when he was on Idol. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, and I'm not a music critic either. But yeah, so you know, I like to see people step up.
Yeah.
That's the part that I can see with music and with dancing, but I can't necessarily see on Survivor.
Right.
You know.
Let's get into the news, guys. The big news, of course, over the weekend at the Royal Rumble, John Cena comes back out of nowhere. He kayfabed us all, folks, to win the Royal Rumble.
You know what? You know, I knew this would be, how did I know this would be brought up tonight? Like, I know when my birthday is, I guess. but you know what? How many times on this show over the last two plus years have I said, the only thing you have going for you in this business today is the element of surprise.
Yep. And it
worked. Why is this the biggest thing in conversation this week?
Because no one expected it.
Thank you. I rest my case, and we can move right on to whatever you want, brother. I babble, and I'm an old guy, and you can say what you want, but you know, I don't make statements that I don't believe, and that just proves my point.
I mean,
you know, and I let's make a case for, you know, I want to start a campaign called Let's Give John Cena a Break. I mean, listen, he's not Ric Flair or Ricky Steamboat. I'll be the first to say that.
Right.
Okay? And if he worked for me, I'd have him in a practice ring making him a better worker. That said, John is a hell of a classy guy. He's a good kid. He's busted his ass. He does charitable things. He does works hard for the promotion. He works hard to get the business over. Give him a break.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're booing him because your girlfriend would rather sleep with him than you. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure why everyone dislikes him. But
I think that's what it is.
You know, but it's like, come on. You know, it's, you know, and I thought his promo last night was, I don't think it's a great promo of all time, but I think to his, you know, part of it was obviously at work, but part of it was heartfelt too. You know,
yeah.
He loves the business and he tries. You know, and like I say, no, if I have to tell you he's the greatest worker in the world, then I'd lie to you because he's not.
Yeah.
You know, but he's a good guy. He works hard. The only thing I don't like about his gimmick is, well, he doesn't pump the Reeboks anymore, I don't guess, and I'd like to buy him a pair of wrestling boots. Not that he couldn't afford his own. But anyway, you know, other than that, I'm up with John Cena. I really am.
Yeah. I guess what it was, of course, you know, he kind of mangled the truth a little bit in some interviews. And I guess the main one, which really kept his coming back a secret, was that it was reported everywhere that the new movie that he's filming for WWE 12 Rounds was going to take 5 months to film. In reality, now it's coming out that they applied for permits to film in New Orleans, and that the shooting was actually going to be 4 to 6 weeks. Because Cena's going to be filming in the United States, he'll be able to make appearances on TV now leading up to WrestleMania. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, we've got Cena back. Love him or hate him. There he is, my friends. He's back.
Well, you know, like I say, I like John as a person. I had the opportunity when he was prototyped down in OVW to be around him and work with him. He's, like I say, he's a class act. He's a gentleman, and I'm cool with John. And like I say, he's, you know, if you're asking me to compare him with Flair or Steamboat or Harley or somebody like that, no, can't, or Guerrero or Benoit or Michaels, nope, can't do that either.
Right.
But, you know, that doesn't mean he's, you know,
a bad person.
Yeah, it doesn't make him a bad person. Doesn't mean he's not a hard, you know, he's trying hard and he's busting his hump and he hasn't had anything given to him. He's worked hard to get it.
Absolutely, that's true. WWE has adopted a new policy that any fan spotted taking photos or video with their cell phones at WWE events are to be ejected from the building. Digital cameras will still be allowed at the shows. WWE had begun implementing this policy as far back as October 2006.
You know what? Here's my... I've got a question for
yes.
you. I can come with my digital... Now, when you say this is stills, right?
Yes.
You can shoot with stills, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what kind of harm can I do with my phone?
It's not good quality, no.
Well, is it... I mean, but I mean... And what... I mean, the point is, I think it's... You know, it's like swatting the gnat on the elephant's back. Is it necessary? Does the elephant even know it's there? I just don't see, you know, hey, Doc Young shot a couple blurry, nasty minutes of Raw, and he's probably going to put it on his website.
Here's what I think it is. Now, I've seen a lot of cell phone video over the last few years of things happening at house shows that went a certain way that it wasn't supposed to. Somebody would get into it with a fan. Some fan would jump the rail, things like that, and people would record that with their camera phones and then put it on the internet. I think that's what WWE doesn't want people to see.
Okay.
But that's my guess.
Whatever. I just, you know, like I say, I think sometimes we overlook the important things and focus too much on the things that don't matter, and I just didn't, you know, like I say, My picture phone is, I've got my wife and my grandchildren on there. Other than that, I don't have anything.
Right.
I'm sorry, I got my cat on there.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like, I don't go around, I don't do that, you know.
Right.
I realize some people do, and whatever, I don't know. It's just.
Jesse of the Jesse and Festus tag team on SmackDown has a broken hand. It remains to be seen how serious the injury is or how long he will be out of action for. But, of course, we'll have those details up at WrestlingWeekly.com when we get them. But in the meantime, for all the Jesse and Festus lovers out there, won't be seeing them for a little while.
Jesse and Festus lovers.
Jesse and Festus lovers.
There are so many people that have a cup of coffee passing up in front of that screen and never to be seen again. That's amazing. I don't know.
You think Jesse and Festus might be in that category?
Well, I don't know. They passed by there once.
Yeah, they did.
You know,
really quickly. But so did Johnny Nitro.
Speaking of passing by there, if Ashley never passes by there again, I'm up with that, brother. I mean, why was she standing on the apron last night?
I have no clue.
Why didn't they just put Mickie James in a handicap tag?
All right.
I mean, she is just, excuse me, Paul London, if you're listening, and I'm sure you're not, if you love her, that's cool, and if you guys have a great relationship, that's cool, and if she's a good model, that's cool. If she's a wrestler, I'm Jesus Christ.
Right.
I mean, and I'm not, so.
I think they wanted to put her up there and not
and Maria,
have her wrestle.
And Maria the same. I mean,
yeah.
God, you think, you know, there is no logical reason if she, you know, here is my problem. Sometimes the business at this day and age is like the friggin' army. If you're a carpenter, they put you in plumbing. If you're a plumber, they put you in the piping pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they put you, I mean, here's the thing. You know, if you are a very technically skilled performer between the ropes, then that's where you belong. if you can't cut a promo, then for Christ's sake, get you a manager or a partner or somebody that can talk. If you're a great talker, then feature that and keep your lousy ass out of the ring.
Right.
If you have a great set of implants, do whatever that turns you and Jerry Lawler on. I don't know. So you two can wet your pants or whatever it is you two guys do over that. But
You're talking about me, aren't you?
But please don't put her in the ring.
Right.
I mean,
I thought Maria was fine backstage.
And that whole thing with with Santoriello is so stupid because all of us know she's going to be he is the only person in America that doesn't know she's going to be in Playboy.
Right.
Does he not watch? Does he not read the internet? Does he not watch the show?
Yeah, I mean,
I mean that goes back to the stupidity of WCW and when Stacy was cheating on David, or who was it was cheating on David Flair? Anyway, and I thought, Jesus, this is tape. David, do you ever watch the show?
Right.
You know, no, he's the only one that doesn't.
Do you see a lot of that?
See, and there is where you lose. Anything that might even pass for believability is gone by the wayside, and it's just stupid. I'm sorry, it's just stupid.
Yep.
It's not funny because, you know, it would be funny if you actually believed that he might believe that. But if you think of Jesus, are you just stupid? Yes, apparently. You know, and I don't know. It's just it's stupid.
I'm sorry, you said it.
Maria and Ashley could be bookends. They could do that well. No, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not telling you. They may be talented singers, writers, dancers, typists, acrobat. I don't know, but they are not wrestlers.
Right.
Period. End of story. And if you dare come up with some reason that they should be. I will get in my car and drive to Indiana, put my foot far up your ass, you'll be biting my toe. I swear to God.
I am so glad we're so far apart when we do the show.
If you try to rationalize this in any friggin' way, then you can take Dave Lagana's place and put your nose up somebody's butt in WWE, too, okay?
No, I'm not going to do that, but... I do have a question for you.
About, okay, here we go with the but.
Do you think Maria was a good backstage interviewer?
No, I think she played the dummy.
Oh yeah,
I think Mike Adamly is going to be good at that.
Yeah,
because he's not going to play the dummy.
Right.
You know, I don't know why everybody has to be part of the show.
Because they're in the show. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But Mike Adamly, yeah, that leads us to the next thing, and it's a good segue because he made his WWE debut at Royal Rumble.
I won't say that he doesn't become stupid at some point, but he seemed to, he came across as being, you know.
I would really hope not because, he was the former co-host of the original American Gladiators, and he wasn't... goofy in that position. It's kind of not his image.
Right.
You know what I mean? His image is sort of fun but serious, you know. So hopefully, you know, there'll be some integrity brought back to the backstage interviewing. I don't know.
That would be wonderful. So. I would be up with that. With any integrity, it'd all be brought back to the business. I thought the Rumble overall was decent and it was made and pretty much made sense. One of the neat things was there wasn't a lot of stupid comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I know Hornswoggle has yet to be eliminated from the Rumble, which I hope doesn't mean that he may show up as
the winner,
as somebody's opponent for the world title at WrestleMania. If he did, I want my money back, and I haven't even spent it. But
right.
I thought the Rumble itself was pretty good. It was booked pretty decent. And a lot, you know, I know a lot of people were upset because Orton didn't put the strap on Hardy. That was a good match. It wasn't a great match. Anyway,
on the forums, we have you know, the betting that goes on for the play points during the pay-per-views, I think it was 4-1 odds or 6-1 odds that Jeff Hardy was going to win that title from Orton, which obviously didn't happen. But I really didn't, I had no hope that Hardy was going to win this match. It never crossed my mind that Orton was going to lose at all. That's how adamant I was about that.
And see, and to me, the thing with John, John's just how long, John's, no matter how long he's been out, he needs, it comes back to the same thing I said about Jericho, and it's not, and I like Chris Jericho, he's a personal friend.
Mm-hmm.
I like John Cena personally. So it's not about a grinding an axe here, but just common sense tells me that, okay, I'm back, I'm a contender. No, you're back, and you've got to earn your, I don't care what you were yesterday.
Right.
You're not that today.
Right.
Because you've been out of the picture. He said himself on the promo, there's some new, I forget how he said it, but meaning, you know, Hardy and there's a new champion and some new challengers in place. He's right. You know, so.
I myself can almost forgive this in Cena's case, because Cena wasn't gone that long, and he was the champion.
Well, how long was he gone?
3 or 4 months.
And that's not long enough?
I don't think so. But Chris Jericho was gone for 2 years.
Well, I what did I say about that? I said he didn't belong.
Right.
I mean, he should have had to earn a title. Again, that's part of the anticipation, Doc. That's
mm-hmm.
part of let's watch and see if these guys make it to that point.
Right, and I think them putting Cena back into the title chase like this obviously means that he is going to be in the main event of WrestleMania. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. Or I wouldn't say that
well,
they wouldn't be doing
know.
It.
See,
they shouldn't be doing
again,
it.
Here again, they've got everybody talking about last Sunday night because of the element of surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody in that company's caught on. I'm not sure.
I hope so.
And if they have, then if they saw what this did to spike interest... then maybe they should continue to do that. You know, if they will, that's the horse of another color. I don't know, you know. But
right.
But that would be my thought, you know, is, hey, we've got people talking. Look at the message boards. Look at, you know, the talk shows. Let's surprise people again. Let's don't tell them 10 weeks out what we're, you know, don't telegraph what we're doing.
Right.
Okay, so...
Speaking
I mean,
of keeping storyline secret, ECW head writer Dave Lagagna was... let go from WWE over the week, and our good friend Brian Alvarez at the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter is reporting that he was fired because they, I'm not saying he leaked storylines, but they do think that it was him that leaked storylines, and this was why he was let go. Supposedly, there's going to be a big story in the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter that's coming out tonight, well, actually tomorrow in the morning, about this whole thing, and we're going to learn some more information about that. We'll have that up for you on the site.
I have no idea. You know, I don't get into all that. But obviously, the newsletters get all these, they get their information somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say it's not all from him, you know.
No. I mean, it's
you
not
know,
all from one
but,
person.
But anyway, that's, I don't, there again, I won't venture a guess as to why he was let go. I'm not giving Grammys or Oscars to any of the writers in any of the companies, quite frankly, at this point. So, you know, he's just another one of the people there, as far as I know.
Right.
I don't have an opinion about it at all.
That's
just that I know the name and that he was the lead writer, I guess, with ECW. So.
Right. And, of course, you know, there are more to the rumors, but I'm not going to, you know, go ahead and repeat them because they're just rumors at this point. We're going to find out, of course, what the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter says. And, you know, we'll have some more news for you tomorrow on this. Guys, let's take a break right now. We've got plenty more news coming up, of course, but it's time to get Adam Martin from WrestleView.com on the line. He is going to be doing Hot Topic with us tonight.
Adam's running for president, right?
I think in the future.
Okay, cool.
But not yet.
He's not, Obama Martin?
Obama Martin. but we've got our featured guest a little bit later on. Tammy Sitch, a.k.a. Sunny's going to be on the program. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back, man. It's going to be a good show.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin Draven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
You remember her as WCW Babe Major Guns. But now Tylene Bug wants to show you another side of her.
I'm not shy at telling you what I'm like and what I want. So if you're looking for a good teacher, I'm the girl for you. The more crazy you can get, the more fun I have.
Here is your chance to interact with Tylene and watch her on webcam directly from her own bedroom.
Stacy Keebler is a whiner.
Please join Tylene for her Bates on Demand webcam shows, available free to members of ShowdownNetwork.com and AudioWrestling.com.
This year is going to be a kick-ass year for me, and I hope it's a kick-ass year for all you guys, too. Bye.
Wrestling-Radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done, log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows, such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
Hey, yo, America. Hulk Hogan here, greatest of all times. Are you guys ready? My main man, Bubba the Love Sponge, is back. Get ready, America.
The hottest morning show in the United States has come home. Don't miss Bubba the Love Sponge, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Showdown Network.
Can you break?
Can you break?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
Tell us, old savior, what's so important that you had to come back? What exactly are you saving us
from?
They're back! Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you here at Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now, he is the webmaster of WrestleView.com. Adam Martin is with us for Hot Topic. Adam, thanks for coming back, man.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's always good to be here, guys.
And he is also a political science expert on...
Yeah, you've anointed me Obama Martin, so I got
a Wrestling Weekly. And to be smarter than me, it doesn't take... I mean, no offense, Adam.
With politics, I mean, either you just really are into it or you're not. And if you really are into it, you're going to pay attention to everything going on. And I love this time of the year because I love last year's time of the year when the other elections are going down. And this is even more fun. And it's kind of fun to see how dirty some people are getting right now when it's coming down to the wire.
I had DVR'd some great shows from last week, Boston Legal and so forth, that I enjoyed very much last night while George Bush babbled on.
Yeah, I didn't watch George Bush either. I decided to watch Raw instead. So,
wow.
I did watch part of Raw. I watched Raw up and on too. I certainly did.
So we've got a big UFC pay-per-view coming up. Adam, tell us about it. Of course, Brock Lesnar going to make his UFC debut. Set it up, my friend.
Well, this is so interesting because we have a clash of two audiences. We have people who follow mixed martial arts, they follow the UFC religiously, that kind of know a little bit about Brock Lesnar, but it's still kind of a question mark for them. And then we have this other audience that knows Brock Lesnar as the pro wrestler, the former WWE champion, who may not, you know, they know him as that. They may not watch MMA, they may not watch UFC, they may have absolutely no clue who he's fighting. They just know that he's going to be going to the UFC, making his debut in the Octagon this Saturday in Las Vegas. And so it's been kind of fun for me to sit back and kind of just hear the differing opinions. And I saw a poll on Dave Meltzer's website a couple days ago asking people who they thought was going to win, and Brock Lesnar won with 70% of the vote. But I got to tell you guys, you know, Brock's had one fight. That was in June. It was a pretty quick fight. It only lasted probably not even a minute. He took the guy down and started hitting him, and the guy tapped out because I guess Brock hits pretty hard. But that really wasn't enough to show me what he knew.
Adam, let me ask you a question. Now, see, and
sure.
I'm getting, but I'm certainly no expert on MMA. I saw that fight. The one thing that did jump off the screen at me was when Lesnar mounted him. Brock's balance was so good the guy couldn't shake him.
Yeah, and that's what
I think
that's
going to
be.
It was kind of like Johnny Fairplay riding the bull.
Exactly. It's going to be, well, maybe you look better than Johnny Fairplay than most people. And his wrestling background is really going to be what's going to come into play this Saturday. And he's had at least 2.5 years to train for this. The problem with you know, people that don't really follow mixed martial arts is that you can be a really, really great wrestler, but that doesn't mean a whole lot in mixed martial arts because there's such a combination of things. You have to be a good boxer. You have to be a good wrestler. You have to be very, very good at jiu-jitsu if the action goes to the ground. And that's the only weakness that I truly see in Brock Lesnar is I have no idea how good he is at jiu-jitsu. And the guy he's facing is a former UFC heavyweight champion in Frank Mir. And this guy is amazing in jiu-jitsu. I mean, he actually likes it when guys take him down because when he's on his back, that's when he locks in submissions and wins his fights. I mean, this is a guy who snapped Tim Sylvia, who's a former heavyweight champion. He snapped his forearm in half. I mean, this guy is completely for real. He's a former heavyweight champion. I was very, very shocked that the UFC decided to put Brock in there with someone so experienced, someone who has, you know, so many more fights and has been in the industry so much longer than he has. I was kind of assuming they were going to put him in there with someone fairly decent but not as good as Frank Mir is, and the fact that they're doing that shows that they have a lot of confidence in Brock, and the marketing machine has been rolling for a long time. They had a deal going with TNA for the last 2 weeks during Impact to air some footage. They even they had a huge advertising campaign at Madison Square Garden on Sunday during the Royal Rumble, and I had tons of people email me saying they saw stuff everywhere when they showed up for the Rumble on Sunday, and they actually were able to kind of get a little small deal going with the WWE. The UFC was able to get something going where they're going to promote the fight just on WWE.com. That's according to Dave Meltzer. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but they won't promote stuff on TV, but just online. But they're really trying to grab that wrestling audience that may not watch UFC and try to get them hooked and try to get them to buy the pay-per-view.
I watch, pardon the interruption, on ESPN every day at 5:30 Eastern. It's entertaining, and they also cover most of the highlights of the professional sports in general. And I saw the UFC commercial on there.
Yeah.
With Dana White and everything. So they're pushing this thing hard.
Oh, yeah. It's going mainstream.
Question.
I mean, ESPN has covered some UFC stuff in the last 2 years, and that was kind of the first big obstacle they wanted to get over was to get the – I mean, they don't cover every UFC show, but if it's a big show, they will cover the weigh-ins for the show the day before. They'll cover results afterwards, just like it's a boxing event. But and as far as I know, they're going to be covering a whole lot of stuff for this Brock Lesnar debut on Saturday. But, I'd be surprised if you didn't know that Brock Lesnar was going to be debuting this Saturday because they've put a whole bunch. I mean, they've been, you know, airing commercials on ESPN. They've been airing it during WWE programming. It's pretty big.
You know, here a guy that I know that's involved in MMA. This is what he said to me last week. He said if Mir is serious and training seriously, then Lesnar's going to have trouble. If Mir is not training seriously, and apparently this is the case sometimes with him, then Lesnar may not have any trouble at all.
Yeah, I mean, and Mir has admitted to that in the past in his career where he sometimes he would see an opponent and he didn't feel the need to train. And one of the things he's been really, really focusing, I mean, he's actually, I mean, I know he hasn't come out and said this, but he's expecting Brock to take him down, because obviously Brock's a wrestler, and that's one of his main things, is he wants to get the guy to the ground. And although I haven't seen a whole lot of what Frank's doing, and obviously they want to keep things as secret as possible, he is working with stuff on the ground, but the thing is he's already so good at jiu-jitsu that there's only so much more he can do. And the problem is that the main prediction that a lot of MMA fans see this fight going is that if Brock does shoot on Frank and take him to the ground, that's where Brock's going to be the most in trouble, because we have no clue if he's as good as he's being told. I mean, I have no idea what his jiu-jitsu skills are like. I mean, he could obviously get him, you know, in a position where he can try to fight out of submissions, or obviously his strength is going to come into play. But it surprises me that the little knowledge that a lot of people have about Frank Mir. I mean, I had one person tell me, you know, I heard this, he's fighting some loser, and I just couldn't believe that. I mean, he's not fighting. I mean, Frank Mir's just not some guy. I mean, this guy's been in mixed martial arts for years and years and years. He has so much experience. But, I mean, the main thing, if I had to make any point tonight in discussing this fight, is that in mixed martial arts, anything can happen. I mean, you can sit here, you can analyze both fighters, you can say, I think he's going to win like this. But really, at the end of the day, you're not 100% positive, and especially with someone like Brock Lesnar, who has more questions than answers, you know, we could see him, you know, really come out there, look really, really good. I mean, he needs to win this fight to really live up to the hype, because he's had so much hype built up. But at the same time, you know, if Frank Mir beats him, that's going to look even better for Frank Mir, and even put him in a position to get closer to a heavyweight title shot. Obviously, maybe not this year, but, you know, somewhere down the line.
Right. Well, you know, the one thing I'm sure of about Lesnar, too, is from having been around him, is the fact that for his size, he is tremendously agile. And, you know, to whatever advantage or whatever edge that might give him, again, I'm you know, if you held a gun on my head and said, tell me everything you know about Frank Mir, I'd probably say shoot me, because I don't know a lot. I've seen a couple clips, you know, in the past of him, but he was never somebody I focused on, like Cordier or Liddell or, Rich Franklin or Matt Hughes or people like that. So I don't really know, but I that's the thing, you know. And you know, basically what you said, we know Lesnar can wrestle. We know for his size he can move. How is he as a striker? And that's obviously unproven at this point. So it's going to be kind of a wait-and-see type situation, I guess.
Well, what if, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. What if he does, Frank Mir happens to win? Is this career over for him?
If Frank Mir wins, or if Brock Lesnar wins?
If Frank Mir wins, is Lesnar's career over?
No, I mean, obviously when he signed a contract with him, he has at least, I mean, you'd have to think they gave at least, you know, four or five fights tops. I would say five fights at the very most on a contract. And he's actually scheduled, they want him to actually fight again as soon as June, possibly overseas in England. So if he does lose, it's not like his career's over in the UFC, but they obviously don't want that, because they've really, really built this up. And it's funny, because there's actually a title fight for the interim heavyweight championship. Randy Couture is currently the heavyweight champion, but he hasn't officially been stripped of the title, but he's also pretty much said that he's quit the UFC. And they're having a title fight between Tim Sylvia and a Pride standout named Nogueira. And they're billed as the main event, but they're really not getting the attention and all the promotion for the show. And this has happened to Tim Sylvia before, when Tito Ortiz fought Ken Shamrock for the second time in 2006. He was really upset that his fight with Andre Arlovski for the heavyweight title was completely being ignored, and all the focus was on Ortiz and Shamrock. And this is happening all over again with Brock Lesnar debuting. And the thing is, if Brock loses, it's not over. I certainly wouldn't look less on him. I mean, if he loses to Frank Mir, I mean, that guy's a former heavyweight champion, so I don't really see how that's a bad thing.
No, well, you know, a couple things too, Doc, that if you don't follow this, and again, I'm certainly, I've just gotten into MMA with some seriousness in the last year, mm-hmm. honestly. But none of these guys are undefeated.
Right.
I mean, to have a record of 13 wins and 6 losses and still be a champion is because it's not a work,
right?
You know, but now what Adam said, excuse me, about Tim Sylvia, the first thing that jumps off the page at me is Sylvia is drab as wallpaper. I don't see him. I've watched him fight it, but I don't see the, Randy's exciting. Lydell's exciting. Shamrock, even at his worst, was exciting because he brought some fire and passion. Ortiz is exciting. Hughes. But Silva is just a big, I don't know,
there.
A big guy,
yeah.
You know.
That's the biggest complaint about Tim Sylvia, that in the last couple of years, because he was on steroids at one point, got caught, and as soon as he got off steroids, people noticed that his fights were becoming less exciting. He did have a very exciting fight with Andrei Arlovski where Andrei Arlovski knocked him out. He stood right back up and then knocked out Andrei Arlovski, and that was pretty exciting. But since then, he's had some pretty lackluster fights that pretty much go, you know, three rounds or five rounds, depending on if he was champion or not at the time. And he was actually pretty upset. They had a conference call this week with Brock and a few people, and he was on there, and he was noticeably upset and actually ended up hanging up on the conference call because he was so upset that all the attention was going on Brock, and Brock's kind of the new guy coming into the heavyweight division.
Right.
But, see, I think this is the thing that's kind of what, well, he's going to have to understand it whether he likes it. I mean, he's still getting a hell of a payday, regardless if he's the main focus or he's not. But I think the thing that's brought MMA to the forefront in the last couple of years is they have discovered if there's a chemistry or a spark between the competitors or there is a bit of decent showmanship, then not unlike professional wrestling, it makes it more interesting. And the guys that are, that are more entertaining are going to get more play, and that's what's going to make it, exciting for the people that are buying the tickets and the pay-per-views.
So with all the talk about, what wrestling should learn from MMA, you think MMA learned a little from wrestling?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We go back to what I said before, what Terry Funk said. What's MMA a couple years ago? What's MMA remind you of? Our business, 1960. The build-up for what you see on Spike now. I don't buy the pay-per-views, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. But I watch the build-up because it's not just about the fight. It's not just the guy, one fighter screaming, "I'm going to kick the hell out of the other guy." But it shows a little of their background and who they are as people, and it gives some depth and some character to these people, and I think that's what our business is lacking.
Yeah, and it actually helps you, care about them. Wrestlers go down week after week now, and they get these injuries, and fans don't even really seem to care anymore. You know what I mean?
I think the worst thing about our business, what our business can learn from you, USC's prep for their fights now, is to get the hell out of character occasionally and just be real.
And be serious, yeah.
Because, we did it back in the 70s with Southeastern Wrestling, and it hadn't been done before, and people said it wouldn't work, but it did. We took people out of character and our personality profiles, and it gave another side to the coin, as it were. Gave more depth to the person. And in this day and age, wrestling's a work. You know it's a show. So for a guy just to be in character 24/7 is, it's like you think, is he stupid?
Right.
You know? When I say that, Schwarzenegger doesn't go on Jay Leno and in character is the Terminator, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever's playing Batman doesn't wear his costume on Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
He comes on as the actor being that person. And I think that's what's escaping the comic book writers or the sitcom writers that whoever's writing wrestling now is the point is, it's a show, so we can just be, we can go to fan, we can go to Alice in Wonderland with it. No, because everybody knows the show, you need to go focus more the other way. And without saying this is the actor behind the character, or this is the athlete behind the character, whatever the case may be, is to show that side and give more depth to your, and maybe somebody will give a damn.
Right.
If you think about, looking at the two businesses, there's certain advantages to pro wrestling and there's certain advantages to MMA. you know, with MMA, that I'd say their advantage over pro wrestling is that these guys are not, you know, on television 2-3 times a week and wrestling every month. You know, these guys are fighting every couple months. They're fighting maybe once, twice, 3 times tops a year. So when you see them fight, it's more special because you're waiting longer in between their fights to see them, you know, fight next. Whereas in wrestling, you know, we see these guys every single week. We see them on pay-per-view. But the big advantage wrestling will always have over mixed martial arts is that sense of control. And there's been many times, especially in 2007, where fights should have gone a different direction where, you know, you wanted, I mean, from a business standpoint, it was probably the worst thing for the UFC for Chuck Liddell to lose to Rampage Jackson because that was when things were really starting to take off. The ESPN coverage was going through the roof. Chuck Liddell was everywhere. And then he got knocked out, and he got embarrassed, and they didn't need that. And, then, you know, this happened to other people in the UFC. So there's a lot of comparisons you can make, and I mean, there's obviously little things in MMA that they've taken from pro wrestling and vice versa. But, you know, looking at both industries right now, I mean, obviously MMA is the stronger of the two. But I also compare it a lot to what happened to wrestling in the late 90s where it just exploded and everybody was watching and then eventually people got tired of it. And I hope that doesn't happen to MMA, but the way Dana White's starting to monopolize the industry, I mean, he's already lost Randy Couture. He's going to be losing Tito Ortiz later this year. You know, he's going to be losing a lot of fighters because of the pay structure and some of the stupid rules he's enforcing. He's actually going to be banning the Affliction clothing line because they may be starting up their own company, and that's going to take a lot of money out of a lot of people's pockets. You know, Dana White is actually, you know, being credited for being this big genius, and he's actually starting to really, really hurt it in a lot of areas, and I think people are just starting to notice that now as it's taking off. But, you know, it's one of those things where, I mean, I'm one of those rare people that still really, really enjoys pro wrestling, but I also enjoy MMA. But I've also heard a lot of wrestling fans say that they just find mixed martial arts so boring. But maybe they won't find it so boring this Saturday when a guy that used to be in their world steps into the octagon and tries to take out a former heavyweight champion. We'll see how it goes.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think though the build-up, it goes back to what I said last year about De La Hoya Mayweather.
That was awesome.
I'm not a boxing fan, but I was down at my wife's home in North Carolina and was channel surfing on HBO and came across the build-up. And I got to see two of the lead-ins to this fight. And, you know, the funny thing was I found myself, I realized I wanted to, I was interested because of the backstory, because of the characters, because of the human interest, because of the things other than the fighting. And if at that point, again, I'm not a boxing fan, it wasn't who the champion was or did I care? You know,
right.
They had made me interested in the people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, you know, wrestling's trying to make the character larger than the human beings, and they're trying to make, I mean, it's just, you know, it's, but
it's
I think
working.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And I think with MMA, you know, it's they. Well, again, it's there's no guaranteed formula. You know, Couture is to me the great story. There, here's this guy who's to me is the ultimate babyface because he's an old guy, older guy, who everyone thinks is down in his luck and is and he's come through as the underdog, and retained his title, and that's the Rocky story, boys, as a shoot,
yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that's, I think a lot of people in our business don't understand that, well, you know, let's look at this. The Giants are going to the Super Bowl. They beat Dallas and Dallas's home field.
Thanks for rubbing
it in. They beat Green Bay in Green Bay. the Chargers beat Peyton. And the Hoosier Dome?
Thanks, Les, for including me.
Well, the RCA Dome or whatever the hell the dome
Les
is.
Les is rubbing it in on both of us.
but I mean, the point is,
yeah.
And the Pats are in a position to go 19-0.
Right.
Boys, there's more. Believe me, there's more talk around the water fountain, the water coolers about that, than there is about the boogeyman. Or Ashley Masaya's lack of talent, or her large mammaries,
yeah.
You know, or she's got a pin stuck in her lip, or whatever the hell the story, you know, I mean, or Stone Cold Shark Boy is not the man of the hour either.
Right. Yeah. Your point is, and I think it's an excellent point, is that wrestling needs to create, they have the freedom to create these situations, but they're not doing it.
Yeah. Well, they're overdone. They're right. I mean, it's too far. Too much of this crap's over the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it is. It's. I mean, they're still trying to resurrect the Mitchell Abyss thing by now making Jim Chris's father, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, and it's like that whole thing was over and dead and buried a year ago.
Right.
Nobody cares. Well, except Vince Russo, who looks in the mirror and gets all excited and frustrated. And
well, that's what scares me about TNA is that, you know, the ratings don't drop, so they think they're doing something right there. And it's the same audience showing up every week, and I know they were so excited to beat ECW that one week, but, I mean, I know Glenn Gilberti made a huge challenge to people saying, well, if you think you can book this show and book it better, then go ahead and try. And that's just kind of, you know, that's kind of a cop-out.
Glenn, get your nose out of Vince's ass, okay?
That's what people do on the Internet every day is they go and rebook everything that's going on. WWE, TNA, they should listen a little bit. And I know they don't have to. I mean, why are they going to listen to somebody on the Internet? But there are other ideas out there. The ones that they're doing aren't working
too well.
Listen,
here's the deal, okay? WWE, for being public held or whatever, the main cogs in the wheel, if they all live to be 100, couldn't go broke if the company goes belly up tomorrow. It's not about what's best for the business. It's not about what's best for the talent. It's not what's best for the industry. It's... this is what we want. This is what we're going to do. We're trying to reinvent the wheel or reshape destiny. I don't know what's going on. And then the same thing with TNA for some stupid reason.
Right.
So do I understand it? No, I don't. But I think that's the bottom line.
Right.
And not because Shark Boy said so either, or because he drinks clam juice, which is. I love him. I love that kid to death. He's one of the first trainees I ever had, but that is the most childish, stupid thing that I've seen, and I can't even remember how long. But you know, somebody said, "What do you think?" I said, "I'm happy he's making money."
Yeah,
you know, that's all you can say at this point.
Huh?
It's about all you can say right now.
Yeah, it's about all you can say. I mean, it's. And actually, Lance Storm has a really good commentary up on his website about that gimmick and how it, you know, it's. You know, it's just going to be...
Oh, poor Lance. Poor Lance is going to jump off a building or cut his wrist. Or
I know. He actually said
I read his stuff, and I send him an email, and I say, listen, you're not nuts. They are, okay?
Yeah.
You are for real, brother. Take my word for it.
Guys, check out the big pay-per-view. It's Saturday, right?
Yeah, Saturday night at 9 Eastern, so it's going to be... I can't wait. I mean, this is, for someone who's a big MMA fan, to see somebody from, you know...
Wrestling.
You know, pro wrestling try to come in here and do this. I mean, I've kind of forgot about him as the pro wrestler, but Brock Lesnar's going to have a task ahead of him if he wants to be the former heavyweight champion, so I can't wait. It's going to be a great show on Saturday.
It's going to be awesome. Adam, I want to thank you for being on. Check out WrestleView.com, guys, and Adam will talk to you again in a few weeks, my friend.
All right, sounds good, guys. Good talking.
Adam, always a pleasure. Take care.
Okay, you too.
All right, guys, that was Adam Martin on Wrestling Weekly here. Let's get back into the news, Les. Of course, some other big news this week. On the forum of his official website, BobbyLashleyOnline.com, Lashley pretty much said he was done with WWE.
Nah, did he really?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay.
Big story.
I know, Doc.
WWE has yet to acknowledge that, but they did remove him from their roster page on their website. And... I don't know, it's an interesting storyline. I don't know what, he did, you know, tease some MMA interest, since we're still on the subject
of MMA. Well, I think,
I
could be wrong here, but I believe he was training for MMA before, when WWE found him and offered him a deal.
Yes.
I think.
And, you know, he had just had that surgery in August, which, on his shoulder, which was pretty serious. I don't know what's going to happen with this. And,
well, you know, let me say this. I know it's got everybody. They're thinking, well, you know, Lesnar, Rob Van Dam, Chrissy Vane, and you know, Ryan O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people have Well, and a lot of people are upset by this because they live their dreams through the wrestlers.
Right.
You know, so how can they possibly walk? Well, I can't be in that business, but I want to be, and they are, and they're walking away, and now I'm mad at them. You know, let me say this. This is a stressful freaking business. I don't know how to say any nicer than that.
Right.
It is physically taxing, mentally taxing, stressful. Back in our day, we were on to go 6-7 days a week sometimes, and sometimes wrestle more than once a day. But you know, we also we didn't cross international time timelines or change time zones every couple of days like they're doing too.
Right, right.
And their style is a more high impact. I give them that,
yep.
Which it doesn't have to be, but for some reason it is. I won't even go into that. But, I mean, the other, you know, but also I think part of this play is the backstage politics. And there's always been backstage politics, but it's been spread over many territories for a lot of years. Now that's so highly concentrated, you know. And, I mean, back in the day, if I didn't like your booking philosophies or I didn't like particularly the way you were using me or if you and I had, you know, political differences or whatever, I could pick up the phone and call a couple dozen different promotions and say, hey, are you looking for a baby face? And,
right.
Yeah, we really are. You know, well, when can I get a start? You know, blah, 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 blah. We weren't bound by paper contracts, and there were other places to work.
Right.
You don't have that option. Now it's like, I don't agree, but I got to keep my mouth shut because of the politics. Like I say, it's more highly concentrated, and I can guarantee you, there are people that are in both of these, the major companies right now that I know personally, that I have talked, you know, that don't believe in their direction, but it's where the paycheck comes from.
Right.
That's stressful in itself. I mean, if you have a job typing at your local insurance office and you're not necessarily. But that's not physically taxing to you. It's, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you're home every night. And, I mean, it's but with this, you know, okay, you're out 4 days a week. You go home. You get a chance to kiss the baby, kiss the wife, wash your wrestling gear, pay a few bills, and you're back at the airport again.
Right.
You know, and then you're on the road, and maybe you don't get along with everybody. And when I say that, it's not necessarily because you're a bad guy or they're bad people. It's just there's a lot of people throwing together who come from different walks of life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of variables here. The point is, these people that I just mentioned, whether it's Lesnar, Lashley, Chrissy, Ryan, Van Damme, they've made decisions that impact their lives and decisions that they feel what's best for them and their families.
Right.
And I think we got to respect that instead of look down our nose and say, oh, well, they can't handle it. Or, you know, listen, there's a lot of people can't handle it. I hated the politics. I really did, and tried my best to steer clear of them as best I could. And of course, that wasn't always possible. But I knew that there were distasteful things going on in the business that I didn't particularly care for, but I loved to wrestle.
Right.
And so I had to overlook those things. And some people say, well, that's wrong, and I won't argue that point. Whether it's wrong or right, it's not even relevant. The point is, I wanted to wrestle, so I had to do what it, you know. And I'll tell you the truth: there were a couple times through my career that I burned out. And I stepped away for a while. It's like, man, I can't deal with this anymore.
Right.
You know, but it was like you're watching Celebrity Rehab. I had to go back because it's a drug there is no rehab for.
That's,
you know,
true.
But now, so I admire these people who are willing to step away, especially somebody like Lesnar or Lashley or Van Damme who are making that kind of money.
And it takes guts, too, because you know that people are going to react this way when you do.
Well, you know, but here's the other thing. It's like the old saying, walk a mile in my shoes and then get back to me and tell me what you think, you know? It's like the people who think this business is about gimmicks and music and costumes until they take a couple bumps and their bodies start taking it. Whoops.
Right. This hurts.
I was totally, yes, you were an idiot. You were totally wrong. And it's not about all those things. And it's, I say, so, you know, you got to go back to your hotel room and soak in the hot tub and put the liniment on and be concerned with how you, and then they have to deal with people that aren't necessarily your best friends and they've got their nose buried someplace and as much as we talk about talent in this business, you got to realize this. Whether it's Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, these guys can afford to publicly disagree with management. I mean, they can't do it every week and be vicious or vulgar about it because they are in a position because of their talent and their track record to be able to say something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we talk about talent in the wrestling business, that's not the case here because talent is not the most important factor.
Right.
Sometimes it's agreeing is the most important factor.
Right.
Saying the right thing at the right and when I say that, I hate to be able to say that. I honestly do. But that's true.
It is true.
You know, and so you can have a guy that's tremendously talented and as much as I hate to say it, I wasn't always able to, you had to get on the inside. I was able to make some difference and some changes. Doing the magazine for Crockett, developing the television for Southeastern, doing some things that hadn't been done in the magazines, wrestling magazines before, doing some things that hadn't been done on television. But I had to get to those positions, and someone had to trust me to allow me to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't be necessarily a rebel or a Bolshevik, you know.
Right.
But I couldn't do those things every place. As much as I was allowed to do creative things with the magazine with Crockett, I suggested some of the things I did with television in Southeastern to Crockett, to the Crockett organization, and they weren't, and they didn't want it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to play the game to a certain degree, no matter. But it's more concentrated now than it ever was,
right, back
in the day, because where do you go?
Right.
You know, you got two companies here, a couple in Japan, and I guess maybe three if you consider Ring of Honor, who has a few people under contract too. But the choices aren't great, and they're very limited.
And there's probably more wrestlers than there ever was.
Well, there's not more wrestlers than there ever was. There's more people pretending to be wrestlers than there ever was.
True. PW Insider is reporting that TNA held their first round of drug tests at the TV taping in Orlando last week. As noted earlier, they were baseline tests, similar to what WWE does upon instituting their wellness policy. It should be noted that in addition to all wrestlers on the roster taking the tests, all staff, including Dixie Carter herself, also took tests as well. As it was a company-wide thing.
I find that funny, but go ahead.
It was a company-wide thing, not just limited to in-ring talent. So, Les, you finally got your wish, if this is all true, because that means they would have drug-tested the writers.
Well, okay.
This is what it says, right? It's all staff. So we're going to...
I don't even understand. I mean, God.
Do you think that's a little overkill?
Do you think Jeremy Borash is on steroids?
No.
Okay.
It's not just steroids they're testing for, though.
Yeah, okay.
It should also it's also being reported by PW Insider that staff member Kevin Sullivan, not the wrestler, was the one behind the editing of the one-hour Global Impact special that we talked about last week. That got great reviews by a lot of people across the board, as far as the Internet. The company is in the final stages of releasing the DVD version of the program, and they're looking for a release in either March or April. It was a good show, huh?
It was. It's amazing that the same company put that out and puts the garbage out. They do.
Maybe this was the first thing they let that Kevin Sullivan do. Now, I used to, when you call TNA, they have one of those automated directories.
Okay.
And when I first heard the name Kevin Sullivan, I was like, I just talked to Kevin. There's no way he works there, So everybody thinks he was actually the wrestler, but it was, he is a production staff member.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this was his first foray into editing something that was widely seen like this or not. But they did a good show.
I'll tell you what, this last Thursday night, the thing that got over for me was Tomko again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tomko, you know, and what makes him stand out is he comes across as legitimate and serious, and he makes sense.
Right.
There's nothing over the top. He's always saying, AJ, are you stupid? You know, I mean, this, you know, and I'm cool. I mean, it's just everyone else is like a dog chasing their tail, and Tomko's the
voice of reason.
Yes, the voice of reason, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, and it's like, wow.
And it's funny that he's the character for being the voice of reason. Like, he's the one that's different.
Yeah.
But he's
also the one that gives you any hope that there's some sanity in that whole organization, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And when I say that, I realize that a lot of these wrestlers, again, and I know some of them aren't sold on what's going on there, but again, that's where the paycheck comes from, and it's a job, and you do what you're asked to do in your job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm not telling you that some of these guys don't have the talent to do a lot better. They certainly do. It's just they're not allowed to, you know?
Right.
And it's just like, you know, and this whole alluding to things WWE makes no sense to me. Like Jay Lethal lost his smile and you know, and Stone Cold Shark Boy. And I'm thinking, my God, you know, why don't you call your announcers JR and Jerry?
Right.
You know, I mean, why? And again, what's the value? My question is, why do you call attention to your competition when they're already kicking your ass?
Right.
You know?
That's
no,
true.
I mean, I don't understand that anyway. When I say that, you know, I was I've been involved in some territorial wars, and the television end of them. In Atlanta, you know, in the war of 73-74, the War of Atlanta, but mm-hmm. NWA and the Gunkel, and I know Soli and I, there were some people in the office that had an idea that we were going to ridicule Ann Gunkel in a roundabout way, and Gordon and I both said, no, let's don't do that. Why even call attention to them?
Right.
You know? Our thought was, if maybe somebody's not watching us, is not watching them, and if they are, why do we want to give them reason to watch them?
Maybe they think that's because that worked for WCW in the Monday Night War.
Did it work?
Did it work? No, but I can see how people would think it would, because it happened around the same time.
You know, what is it about? What's insanity is doing the same things over and over again and thinking they're going to get a different result.
Actually, they are getting a different result this time. This time it ain't working. But they did think that it worked. But what I'm saying is,
well,
that
a lot of the things they did were fresh in WCW. The
right.
NWO thing was fresh. They
right.
just didn't know where to go from there.
Right.
The cruiserweights was fresh. I'll tell you the truth. I watched WCW for the preliminary matches because the main events usually stunk.
Yeah.
I watched WWF for the main events, because and the preliminary matches usually weren't worth watching. No, I mean,
it's
seriously.
True. It's true.
But I mean, when WCW was winning the Monday Night Wars, it was because they were doing some original stuff. It wasn't because, you know, I don't think them doing or WWE for that, or WWF at the time, doing old Hulk Hogan or old Randy Savage, I don't think that did a thing one way or the other.
No, but like I said, I could see how people might construe that because it happened around the same time, but that was not what did it. It was, you know, like you said.
Here's the thing. What you saw on Global Impact is what is that, that my friend, is you've heard me talk about being the alternative. That was it. And somebody's going to say, well, you know, the current fans – for those of you in the chat room, I can't help but say this. Screw the current fans. You educate them. They don't educate you.
Right.
They got to, like, if they're into the sophomore garbage, it's because that's all there is to be into. You know, and can they be reeducated? Hell yes. We've reeducated people in this business for all the years I've been in it in one manner or another. Now, is it going to happen overnight? Are we going to change directions next week and think your ratings are going to go up, or think that every fan is going to buy into it? Of course not.
Right.
But if you're out out there selling the product that was on Global Impact on a weekly basis, yes, you will. You will. Your number. I think you will do better because you've given them. I mean, why? You know, if Ford, Chevrolet, and Buick, and Oldsmobile, and Pontiac, and Dodge, and all look alike, then what makes a difference what I buy?
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Except price, maybe.
Yeah.
You know. So I mean, if you're giving me the watered down version of somebody else's product, then why don't I just take somebody else?
That's true.
You know. So I mean, that's.
I got a press release today.
Good for you.
This is about the movie The Wrestler, so I'm going to read this for you guys because it's kind of interesting, especially if you live in the Philadelphia area. But they were going on in this press release to talk about, of course, The Wrestler, the movie that they're making with Mickey Rourke. They said that several scenes from the movie are going to be filmed on Friday, February 8th, at the New Umbra Arena in Philadelphia. Of course, the old ECW arena. Wrestling fans are needed as extras for the movie. Fans must be available at 3 p.m. February 8th at the New Umbra Arena. The only catch is you must buy a ticket for Combat Zone Wrestling Show the following night at the same building. Additional scenes will be filmed for the movie during the Combat Zone Wrestling Show on February 9th.
What I've read about this movie is they're actually going to try to do it right. Now, whether they do or not is still obviously remains to be seen.
Right.
But I understand that they're using a lot of insider language and you know, and it's not at all like what was that?
It's not going to be hokey.
Huh?
It's not going to be hokey is what you're
no,
getting at.
No, they're not trying to sell it as a shoot or you know, anything like that.
Absolutely.
So, or at least that's what I hear. You know, and of course, like I say, it remains to be seen. We don't know what, after the cutting room has done its way, had its way with the film and whatever. But,
right.
You know.
Now,
we'll just have to wait and see.
What I think is funny, that is, if you want to be an extra in this movie, you actually have to pay. This is the first time I've seen this. Now, I was an extra in a movie, God, it was a long time ago, like 1994 or something like that. Not only did they supply the clothes for me, they supplied a makeup artist, they supplied a hairstylist, they paid me. You know what I mean? And I didn't even make the movie. Like, they cut the whole scene out of the movie. But we got paid.
Well, I know. I did when there was a production company in Knoxville that was doing stuff for, well, back then it was the Nashville Network, right? And one of the sitcoms they did was I-40 Paradise, and a friend of mine was a, you know, talent coordinator. And, you know, you could go over and pick up a decent day's pay, you know, as, you know, he'd call and say, well, you know, we've got Stella Parton as a guest star, to, you know, coming up on the show, would you like to, you know, be part of that? Sure, you go over and get a couple meals and pick up a payday and, you know, be an extra, right?
That's right, yeah.
You know, maybe walk out of a restaurant or something, you know, but whatever. But anyway.
I've just never seen where you have to pay to be an extra in a movie. I find that funny.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear about did you see the Tori Wilson interview on
no.
Yahoo Sports? She did this piece, man. She was really open about it. Talked about things like anorexia. She was anorexic in high school. She later became bulimic. It was pretty good. And it wasn't, you know, just shock stories or anything like that. She also couples it with, you know, how she got into the wrestling industry, how she was trained by Fit Finley, things like that. But it's a really cool column. If you guys want to check it out, it's on Yahoo Sports. In this week's spicy dish is the topic.
Where you She's opened that. A clothing store with who is it? One of the guys from the Spirit Squad, right? I think so.
I don't remember which, but yeah, it's a really cool interview. You guys should check that out. Low Key, formerly Senshi in TNA, is now signed a contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling, which I think is it was a really good fit for him.
Yeah.
You make pretty good money out there in Japan.
Well, you know, depending, and I don't know what kind of deal he's got, but there are
right.
guys you know, that are in a position to make a living in Japan and never work in this side of the ocean. You know, they just come home and relax and work out and go back to work over there.
D'Lo did that for a while.
Huh?
D'Lo did that for a while.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure he did. And Rosie did that for a while. Yep. Stan Hansen did it for years.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Williams did it for years. Terry Gordy did it for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he would fit in really good with the Japanese style of wrestling. Plus, you pick up a lot of extra stuff when you go out there and work there because it's a different style, you know.
It is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Doc, you're pretty observant.
I am. I mean, it took me, how long have I been doing this, 4 years?
I give up.
And I just learned that. the Wrestling Observer Newsletter is reporting that former NWA World Champion Ron the Truth Killings has officially signed a WWE contract, and he is currently finishing up all his medical testing. He is good to go, and we will see him soon.
I got an email from a fan today or yesterday, I don't remember, asking me about Chris Harris. Was he really signing? Had he really signed with WWE? And was he an agent? Or I said, I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't pick up the phone and call him and ask because I wouldn't want him to think that I was asking so I could make it public because that wouldn't be the case anyway. So
right.
I'll take a wait and see like everybody else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
More fun that way.
Well, you haven't heard anything, have we?
No.
Not at all.
No.
So.
Celebrity gossip site TMZ.com reports that in its search to find America's prom queen for their new reality show, ABC Family has selected Brooke Hogan to sit among the prom committee panelists. The show, which premieres on March 17th, also features other competitors such as Cosmo Girl editor-in-chief Susan Schultz, Queer Eyes J. Rodriguez. TMZ suggested that they rename the show America's White Trash Prom Queen, and said, let's just hope they don't let Brooke pick out the prom dress.
What? Why would... What would she be... She's a judge?
A judge? The prom committee panelist. So, yeah.
Have you seen... You haven't seen the Bussy Bunch or the Busey Bunch or
I've
whatever
not
bunch.
Seen this yet. I am ready to go, and I'm going to actually watch the first two episodes tomorrow.
Yeah,
so hopefully we'll have a lot to talk
about.
I
watched the first two half hours last week.
I missed all that good stuff, but next week we'll catch up on
the interaction among the family is all cool.
Mm-hmm.
The father seems to, he's got it's a neat arena. They have a gym, which obviously supports the wrestling habit. They have a very nice home, so obviously he's got other investments. Then they show a guy who's a booker, and my question is why. He watched the tape once. It's a thing. When I say this, and I don't mean it in a hateful or disrespectful way, but it's people running wrestling that I'm not sure why they're qualified to do that, you know?
You mean people outside the family?
Well, no, people, period. I mean, I'm watching American Idol. Can I put on an American Idol show?
You can, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a good one.
Well, you're right. It doesn't mean I'm qualified to be a producer of American Idol type show, or I can watch Law and Order. That doesn't mean I'm qualified to produce a Law and Order type show.
Right. Or go out and catch criminals.
Or because I like it, or because I wish I could be on Law and Order. That doesn't qualify me to do any of that, the above, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's my point.
Do you think that's kind of what the show is?
Well, no. The show's more about the family than it is. You know, but it's when you'd have to see it, and it's again, it's, you know, it's interesting, but I don't know.
I'll have to check it out.
It's called the Busey Bunch because the mother has three children and the father, you know, kind of like the Brady Bunch thing.
Wow.
You know, and the boys are all involved in wrestling, and the one son is kind of a jerk off that is in college, is lazy and wants to party and not go to school, and the other boys are helping promote wrestling, and they're picking characters and
all right,
that's the other, you know, whatever, but the daughter would like to do MMA. It's interesting, and like I say, the father seems, I mean, he seems like a good businessman, you know.
Yeah.
From what I tell, but again, with it's like, okay, I'm a member of this family, so that makes me obviously an expert on wrestling, and I'm going to run a wrestling business.
Right.
Why?
I don't know.
Because I can.
Can't you?
Oh, okay. Well, then that's all it takes.
If you're in the family.
But this guy, it's the booker, is not in the family. I mean, it just showed him briefly, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, okay, and why?
Hmm.
You know, it's not like he's got a wrestling back. Well, he's just a young guy, too, so he can't have much of a wrestling background if he's
right.
got any.
Right.
You know, but whatever.
That's
who's
cool.
Chrissy? Who's your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend on TNA?
Lance Hoyt?
Boy, we're getting a heck of a storm here all of a sudden.
And we've had the wind popping here. You're talking about Lance Hoyt?
Yeah, yeah. He's not. That's not his name on this show, but he's on there. And I thought one of the things I thought kind of funny is they had brought him in to evaluate talent.
Mm.
And I thought, okay. Okay.
So you're going to have fun this season.
He's a big star there.
Lastly, guys, Universal has issued a press release today to stockholders that announced that they're going to start adding shows from their cable channels to their schedule. Top Chef from Bravo, Monk from USA, Psych from USA, and Raw were all mentioned in the release.
To be added to what?
To be added to their regular schedules.
Which schedule?
NBC? I believe NBC is one of the schedules that they're talking about.
Uh-huh.
It also goes on to say that... it's been said that NBC has been considering using WWE programming since the beginning of the writer's strike. So this could be a good deal for WWE in the future. We'll have to see.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. Guys, we're going to take a break. We have got our featured guest coming on in just a moment here. Tammy Sitch, you know her as Sunny from WWE. Les knows her as Tammy.
I do.
that he met in Smoky Mountain. We're going to good conversation is going to come up, guys. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher here on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back, man. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to WrestlingWeekly.com. We always have the scoop on the inside of professional wrestling.
Don't listen to me, people. You can find out for yourself right now at home.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
He's been known to walk the walk. That's right, get out your pimpin' canes, your birth control pills, because it is time for the WR Show on Wrestling-Radio.com. He talks the talk. If you're a girl between the ages of 19 and 25 and you think you've lost your virginity, here's a bit of advice. Maybe you should go look for it. Stating the facts like they are and calling it like he sees it. These are my 15 minutes of fame. Get out of the spotlight and watch true greatness shine on Wrestling-Radio.com. Join the legend Jonathan Clark as he takes your phone calls, runs down the latest professional wrestling news, reads your emails, and joins you in the forums and reviews your feedback on one of the most controversial wrestling radio programs of all time, the WR Show. heard every single Wednesday night from 8 until 10 p.m. Eastern on the Internet's fastest-growing Internet radio promotional website, wrestling-radio.com. Who knows what Jonathan Clark will say and do and just how far he will go. He's in charge of all the action every single Wednesday night on the WR Show. Make sure you join wrestling-radio.com for one of the most groundbreaking and revolutionized websites and shows in the Internet today. Wrestling-radio.com presents the WR Show every Wednesday from 8 until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you join us.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally. You pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Can you break?
Can you break?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
Important that you have to come back. What exactly are you saving us from?
They're back. You remember her as WCW Babe Major Guns. But now Tylene Bug wants to show you another side of her.
I'm not shy at telling you what I'm like and what I want. So if you're looking for a good teacher, I'm the girl for you. The more crazy you can get, the more fun I have.
Here is your chance to interact with Tylene and watch her on webcam directly from her own bedroom.
Stacy Keebler is a whiner.
Please join Tylene for her Bates on Demand webcam shows, available free to members of ShowdownNetwork.com and AudioWrestling.com.
This year is going to be a kick-ass year for me, and I hope it's a kick-ass year for all you guys, too. Bye.
Hey, you America! Hulk Hogan here, greatest of all times. Are you guys ready? My main man, Bubba the Love Sponge, is back. Get ready, America!
The hottest morning show in the United States has come home. Don't miss Bubba the Love Sponge, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Showdown Network.
Everybody to Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you, and Les,
without Tammy Sitch.
We are without Tammy,
but it's a woman's prerogative to be late or to change her mind, and you try to call her and she's if she's home, she's not answering her phone. I don't know if she's mad at me.
I hope not.
She had no reason to be anyway.
It's not the first time a beautiful blonde woman refused to answer the phone I called, though, Les. I'll tell you that.
It's not okay. I, if you're looking for a dispute, I'm not going to argue with you.
No, because you know. You've been out.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've seen you beat them off with a stick.
That's right.
Or is it them beating you off with a stick? I don't know. Anyway, somebody's beating somebody off.
Either way. But we're going to get into some more news here, and we're going to take questions from the chat room. If you're in the chat room right now at WrestlingWeekly.com, this is the time. You know, when we have a guest who can't appear or don't appear for some reason, you know it's time to break out the questions, and of course you're always
going to get... And Doc is like Dr. Phil if you need help with the lovelorn, you can ask him how to handle your girlfriend.
That's right.
Or you know, because he's the resident stud.
And I've had a lot of practice handling people's girlfriends.
I'm not going to touch that one.
This is sick, this story coming up. Not what I just said, but this is sick. Vince McMahon supposedly has gave the go-ahead to do an incest storyline. The two characters involved are Paul Burchill and Katie Lee, who I've never heard of her.
She's been an OVW. I've seen her.
Okay.
She's an English girl.
Okay. Well, the gimmick is that there's sexual tension between Paul and his sister Katie, who's his manager. They made their debut at a dark match at last night's Raw. Before the match, Katie took the mic and said that all she wants is to see her brother win. And Burchill says what Katie wants, Katie gets. Now, supposedly, week by week, WWE is going to drop hints as to what it is that Katie wants, which is, of course, her brother. The characters are scheduled to debut on either Raw or ECW in the coming weeks.
Whatever.
Even WWE knew this gimmick was too out there for SmackDown, which, of course, airs on network television prime time, so they're putting this on either Raw or ECW.
They wanted to do this with Shamrock and the girl who played his sister, who obviously was actually his girlfriend at
right.
the time, who is now Sean Waltman's girlfriend.
Yes, Alicia.
But anyway, I'm sorry. I
can't wait.
If I'm not really turned on by it, please forgive me. But.
I know. That's just, oh, my God. There's no reason for something like that. There's no point other than... I guess
well,
to
you know,
people
again, are you going to pay $40 to see if Burchill goes to bed with his sister?
No.
Because you know it's not going to happen, right?
I don't know about that, but I don't really care if it
well,
does or
I mean,
not.
But the point. Well, the point is, you know, it's not his sister.
Right. I don't know. It's just stupid.
Well, I mean, the you know, the majority of people that watch realize that it's not his sister and. It's a game anyway, and if it were for real, you wouldn't be putting it on your television.
Right.
See, this is where you can't suspend disbelief, and the fine line between fantasy and reality is stepped over, and it just becomes okay. Here we go again, type of thing. You know.
Right.
It's Hornswoggle and Collie. It's you know, it's Chuck and Billy. It's whatever.
I was hoping we were going to see less of that kind of thing. The Angel in the chat room here at WrestlingWeekly.com, she asks, did you see NWA Showcase? And if so, what did you think about it?
No, I have not seen NWA Showcase. I know they made it. It's taped in Las Vegas, I believe. But I have not had the opportunity to see it. I read some very negative reviews about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any reviews about it, but yeah.
Yeah, I read some negative reviews. They said it was... What's the guy who they were running on ESPN Classic? I don't know the promoter, but he's kind of a, you know, anyway, that show's supposed to be bad. It was said it was a more modern version of that show. Damn it, I can't. UWF or something is being run on ESPN Classic, or was, I'm not sure. But
it's a
now
new UWF?
They're,
huh? It's a new UWF? Or
No, this is old tapes.
Okay,
from
that's Herb Abrams.
Late 80s, early 90s or something. I'm not sure when.
Herb
exactly.
Abrams, UWF?
Huh?
Herb Abrams, UWF?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one. And now someone told me, too, that when they're done with those tapes, that they're going to run the Mario Savoldi show, IWF, from up in New England. If so, if they use the original soundtracks, then probably... Luthez and I will be doing some of the play-by-play and color on those.
Sweet.
I'm not sure. I mean, this goes back to the 80s, if that's what they're running. I don't know. I know people have popped up over the years and said, I saw that in this place or this place or this place. Honestly, I've never seen them replayed any place. But anyway.
That's really cool, though, that they're, you know,
but yeah,
at least they're trying to bring back classics.
I have not seen the NWA Showcase, but I have heard, I read negative reviews. And, I mean, I hope they do well. I don't know. One of my kids, Pepper Parks, is their national champion, international champion. I'm not sure which title he holds.
I think it's national.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah, Pepper. Well, Pepper came to me when Chet the Jet did.
Right.
They were high school buddies, and when they graduated from high school, they moved from Buffalo to Cincinnati and started training with me. So
yeah. Blue Rampage says, "What question for Doc and Les? What do you think of Joey Mercury being in Ring of Honor?
I think that's cool. You know, I like Joe as a person. I think he's a good performer. He got off the track, obviously, with some, you know, with the drugs or alcohol or a combination of both. I'm not sure what. And from what I'm told, he's pretty well cleaned his act up. I talked to a mutual friend a while back, and they said that he has, you know, got his stuff together, as it were.
Excellent.
And, you know, so good. I think...
I think it's a good fit for him. I think Ring of Honor style suits Joey
Mercury.
He's a good
worker, and he'll bring some of the younger guys around, too, if he's allowed to.
Yep, so that's pretty cool. MOAV says, do you think it's time for the return of enhancement talents?
I think there's always been a place for that. It's just a matter of using it properly. I think that... I think when you burn, you know, you put guys in your roster, I'm going to say, like, just as an example, like the Highlanders or Charlie Haas has been used. You can only beat the same guys over and over and over and over and over just so long. And then it's obvious that that's what they're there for. Mm-hmm. Again, years ago, you could change territories and come back fresh, you know, a couple years later to a place. And some remember, but you still had more longevity that way, and that's not the case now. But, yeah, I think instead of beating down the guys on your roster, it's a chance to see the better independent guys in action against your people. It gives you an opportunity to see if you want to sign somebody possibly or look at them again. Mm-hmm. And it also, and the fans are so desensitized now, unless your name is Michaels or Helmsley or one of the stars, they seem to crap on you anyway.
Right.
But again, part of that is with your television audience, if you make these people into something, and if you find a guy who's pretty good, decent, he's good for a few jobs. You know, over a period of weeks or a period of months, if you don't use him every week, and then if you after seeing him, well, maybe we want to send him one of our developmental areas, you know, territories, and then bring him back, you know, once he's got some seasoning. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can see the value in him if used properly, not just is what we used to call chopping meat. You know, if you're just going to beat him up and spit him out, you do that if that's what you have to do, but yeah, I can see a value with enhancement people use properly.
So not back in the WWE 80s days where it was just a bunch of squash matches all on TV.
Well, you know, if you're going to do, I can see a reason for that to start. I mean, there again, there's so many scenarios, Doc. I mean, I can't sit here and draw you, for example, but yeah, if you need to beat somebody, you know, if Helmsley has to beat three guys, I prefer it not be three guys that they're going to be on the roster next week and the week after,
mm-hmm.
you know, but
right.
then there should be a reason for, you know, but then there's nothing wrong with saying, here's a young guy, getting his feet wet. If you remember when Cena first came in, you know, He looked good against Angle, and then they just kind of chewed him up, and then all of a sudden, there he was again. But,
right.
So there's so many different scenarios. But, yeah, I mean, enhancement people can be of value if depending on who they are and how they're used.
Right. Not used so bad that it destroys any
We're
career they could have
to
death, in the
future,
aren't
we? Right? Hit it over the head again, Doc. I don't know how many different ways I can say if they're used properly, depending on who they are and what the situation is, they're
all right,
a value.
All right.
Damn it.
Miss Destiny says, do you think that Gordon Sully should be inducted into WWE Hall of Fame?
I think Gordon Sully should be in any wrestling Hall of Fame that there is. I think Gordon was the man. You know, I mean, I really do. I'm privileged to have been a friend. I'm privileged to have worked with him as his color man in Atlanta. I learned from him. JR will tell you he learned from him. I think Gordon belongs definitely. And I don't care whose Hall of Fame it is. If there's a spot for anyone that's a commentator, play-by-play guy, announcer, Gordon Sully should be there.
Who has the best fire in their comeback today, in your opinion?
I think Michaels has great fire. I think Jeff Hardy's pretty fiery. There's a good cross section of fire. What I mean by that, there's a middle ground for me. Fire is not turning to the fan, turning your back on the heel, and waving at the fans and doing all your hand signs and jitterbugging and nonsense like that. It's
right.
Kicking ass and taking names.
Right.
And that's, you know. And I think Michaels is more into that probably than anybody as far as a baby face right now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the young guys. Well, Jericho's got some fire too.
It's a little more subdued than some of the others. But yeah.
I think over the years, Guerrero as a baby face had a lot of fire. Benoit had a lot of fire.
Do you think Hogan's is corny these days?
Huh?
Do you think Hogan's fire is corny?
Yeah.
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 This guy has a long name in the chat room. RVDHBKMWO.
Okay.
Yeah. He says, questions for Les. What kind of crowds did your Brian Pillman Memorial shows draw?
Our biggest house, I think, was 26 or 700. The first year we had it, we sold out his junior high school gym where Brian went to school, and I think we had put like 1,300 people in there. Next year, with the anticipation of having Austin and Flair both, and we didn't because Steve couldn't make it the second year, we went to Cincinnati Garden. The house went up, but obviously we didn't get made close to fill in Cincinnati Garden. The third year at Xavier Schmidt Fieldhouse, we did like 20. That was the year of Pillman. I mean, the year of Benoit Regal, the tore the house down. We did like 25 or 2,400, I think, 2,500. And then the next year, the last year, the fourth year at Oak Hills, we did, I think, between 2,600 and 2,700 people.
Wow. That's pretty good. Here's a good question. Les, what would you do with the fan reaction for Cena? Would you continue or go in a different direction with this character?
Well, no, I'd have to be more privy to it, honestly, to make a fair evaluation rather than just once a week to see it. But I think it's a baby face. Give him a little more edgy in terms of how he approaches his opponents. I call it the Elvis syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a young man myself, you know, when Elvis got red hot back in the 50s, it was all of us. I mean, I was 14 or, 15 or something, but we all disliked, the boys disliked Elvis because our girlfriends were just gaga over him, right?
Right.
Not thinking that Elvis would, if you stop thinking about it, Elvis wouldn't even look at my girlfriend, right? I mean, what were the chances of him walking down the street in my subdivision in Cincinnati and just getting crazy over my 14-year-old girlfriend, you know? But anyway, I think that's part of it with the guys. So maybe you've got to make him a little tougher on his, on his comebacks and stuff. I think there's still a place for the baby face as a baby face. But I think with him, he's just a good-looking kid, and that's part of it. At some point, I could see value in turning him heel as a worker. The problem is, I think the company sees more in T-shirts and hats and
right.
Than they do in actually what goes on in the ring,
yep.
And I understand merchandising too, but still, like I say, I think there's a huge value. At some point, done the proper way, you could switch him heel, and maybe that would turn him babyface. I don't know, But
I liked Cena as a heel. And I prefer to see him as a heel. Because, like, the whole white rapper thing is a little heelish. You wanna laugh at him. You want to say, oh, that's stupid, you know. Even though he's not that bad
of a
rapper.
Well, he's gotten away from the rapper thing.
Though. Yeah, he did. And that was, of course, going back to what you said, you know, sell hats, merchandise, he's going to be the champion, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's got to be squeaky clean and, you know, have this
and
image.
One of the other things, I think I'd quit writing some of the hokey promos that he's done over his time.
Yeah, because he sounds affected when he says that.
Well, you know, when you're obsessed with somebody else's genitals all the time, it's hard to call them gay.
Right.
You know, and I never quite understood that, why that was always the case. But anyway, yeah, I think you need to explore a lot of people's characters in terms of how they would promo themselves, right? Mm-hmm. You may be surprised to find that some of them have more talent than the people writing the stuff for.
There's a question in the chat room. I don't know if this is directed at us. But I do think it's kind of funny, but it says...
Well, it's in our chat room, it's directed at us.
It says, they talk to each other, too. But it says, have you ever been to a show where you were the only guy there who isn't related to the wrestlers or dating the wrestlers?
I don't think so. Although there's some of that. I saw a promotion last year where it seemed like if your girlfriend showed up, she became your valet, and whether she knew what the hell she was doing in the corner or not, and I always thought that's stupid. I mean, it's almost like, you know, is this a dating club or a wrestling promotion?
I've worked at a couple places like that.
I just find that's stupid. I mean, it really is. And some independent guy has heard me call them hobbyists is upset that I call them hobbyists, but what else is that? Mm-hmm. Unless it's like you and your girlfriend go out and pretend to be golfers this weekend, but it's hard to believe that you are.
Right.
You know, only in your mind for the time you're on that golf course, you probably are. But, yeah, I've never been where I'm the only person that wasn't related or wasn't dating someone. But close. That seems to be quite prevalent on the independent scene. Well, that's, you know, I just recently saw a situation where several girls were involved, and I don't know that they should have been actually we're all that engrossed in it. It's just that their boyfriends happen to be.
Right.
You know? And, well, I guess it's the way, you know, I don't get a date on Saturday night unless I work in his corner or something. it's because they didn't seem comfortable. They didn't fit the role, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you see that a lot on the indies anyway. A lot of people in characters or positions where they're it's like a square peg in a round hole. You know, they don't fit. They're not comfortable there. But for some reason, they're there.
That's true. Have you heard this rumor about Victoria wanting the WWE Cruiserweight Championship reinstated so she can wrestle for it?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
Although it wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. I know her. She's a good lady. I don't know if that would be something she would bring up or not. But of course, you know, the way the company books some of their stuff, it wouldn't, I mean, why wouldn't she think that? I don't know. You know, although I'm not, you know, Jackie was the Cruiserweight champion at one time.
Yeah. Jackie could beat some of those guys, though.
Well, you know, I hope that doesn't happen.
It's been a while.
You could have the incestuous title, if you want.
Yeah, the incest title.
Yeah, cool.
Final question. I know you could take a couple minutes to wrap this one up, but he says, his name's Indie Announcer in the chat room. He says, what would you advise for an independent promotion just getting started trying to make a name for themselves?
I would try wrestling.
Yeah.
When I say, I mean, I'm not saying it to be a smart aleck, but that's what I would do. I would try steering clear of all the goofy gimmicks. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't have entrance music, but I would make my guys have actual wrestling boots, wrestling trunks, and wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone tries to be a cheap copy of what they see on television.
Right.
But if I want what I see on television, I can see it on television. I can see it done better, more expensively, and I see it for free in my living room.
And the real people doing it.
and I don't need to see little Johnny Jones from down the street pretending to be Shawn Michaels, pretending to be the boogeyman, or pretending to do something even more asinine than I see on my television.
Yeah, that would definitely be...
Try wrestling, you know.
That would definitely be number one, is don't imitate the things that you see.
Yeah, no, and try, you know, try to have some clean... I mean, to me, the independence is a place, it's a learning place. It should be. Too often it's not. But, you know, that's where guys should sharpen their basic skills and learn to work and learn how to, you know, work a match and involve the crowd without turning around and screaming at them or waving at them or whatever, you know. So I think good sound basics and you know, in a lot of places it works.
Mm-hmm. It really does. That's going to wrap things up for this week, guys. We were going to have the February schedule up for you on WrestlingWeekly.com in a few days. We'll be
and
back.
Then we'll all know, including me.
Then we'll all know. We'll be back with you on Tuesday, of course, from 8 to 10 Eastern. Les, it's time to say goodnight, my friend.
All right, and you're going to try to line Tammy up and be sure she's not mad at me, okay?
I will do that.
All right, Doc, and it's been a pleasure. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye-bye, guys.